When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on WFAN The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ah, yes, and so we begin 10:02 on this midday Monday. Mark Malusis in for BT and Sal. Holiday week, Dove Alex across the way. Number to call, 888-808-1019. We're taking it right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and there's a lot to get into for sure. Manaea back with the Mets, 3-year, $75 million deal. A move that was broken by John Heyman, I think, at 1:45 this morning. So we'll get into that. A lot of baseball to react to. We'll touch upon the Rangers and Chris Drury. We'll get into that in a little bit. But, you know, it's kind of funny when you look at it. It's like, what do you start with, bad or bad, when you look at the Giants and the Jets? Like, well, which one's worse? Like, where do you go? Like, let's start with Big Blue, and then we'll get into the circus that is the New York Jets. And it is becoming more and more difficult by the week to go out there and defend or make a case for the current leadership to remain in place. I mean, that's just being honest. You know, John Mara, the Giants co-owner, has made it perfectly clear, you know, it's kind of the Mara way. A relevant season is when the Giants are playing meaningful football games at the end of the season. The losing and the double-digit loss seasons have become well too commonplace. 3 years ago was an outlier, year one of Shane Daboll. And unfortunately, they leaned into that instead of having an understanding that they needed to rebuild this Giant organization, which leads us to today. As the Giants have now lost 10 games in a row, Falcons defense outscoring the Giants offense yesterday. I mean, Drew Lock is brutal. When you're looking at a quarterback in the National Football League, it's amazing that he got the one-year deal that he did from the Giants in the offseason and, you know, came to the Giants, actually looks worse. You know, they target Malik Nabers 14 times. He has 7 receptions, so we don't have to hear about Nabers not being targeted. It didn't really matter. I mean, the Giants led that game at one point in time 7-0. Pretty touchdown pass from Lock to Tyrone Tracy. Gets the puppies down. But after that, I mean, the Atlanta Falcons just, and especially defensively, and some of the decisions. I mean, Lock had, you know, turns the ball over 3 times, strip sack. You know, 2 of them gets returned back for touchdowns by the Falcons defense. Giants have 10 penalties. We can look at certain plays and trying to grade out effort of this Giant team and this Giant organization. But really what it comes down to, I'll ask you this question is this, is, you know, what is, let's start with the head coach first and foremost. You know, what is Giant football? Like it's a simple question, right? It should be easy to answer. Like what defines Giant football under head coach Brian Daboll? What are they? What do they want to be? You know, growing up going to, you know, the old Giant Stadium many a time, you know, with my dad, you know, sitting there in the cold, especially going to see, you know, when Parcells was on the sideline, Joe Gibbs on the sideline for Washington, being there for a number of Giants and Washington games and all that, Art Monk, Ricky Sanders, Gary Clark, obviously Lawrence Taylor, Joe Morris. But you knew what Giant football was. It was. And those were good times. There's no doubt about it. But you knew what Giant football was. And you knew that they were led defensively by the linebackers. They were big up front. George Martin, you know, Jim Burr. I mean, you knew what they were. Leonard Marshall. You knew that their offensive line was going to be rock solid. They wanted to run it. You knew wind played a factor. They were going to be smart on special teams. They weren't going to go out there and beat you. You know, they weren't going to go out there and beat themselves. They were going to be a team that, you know, you kind of knew what they were. What are the Giants now? Like, that's what you got to ask yourself. Why does it look as bad as it does? Like, that's the question I'd have for the head coach. And, you know, it's easy for him after games to go out there and say it's all on me. Well, yeah, for sure, it is all on Brian Daboll. But my question would be is, then why are you not coaching the entire team? Why are you calling plays? Why did it look so different year number one, where it was so refreshing coming off the Joe Judge era, where the Giants looked, I mean, poorly coached, where he wanted to do everything himself, wasn't asking for help, and ended up being an unmitigated disaster? I don't care how good the press conference was. I don't care how good he was, you know, when he initially met with the Giants co-owner, John Mara, and how overwhelmed they were. Joe Judge did not work as a head coach, and you're starting to get those senses, that feeling, when you're looking at the Giants head coach. Because it's becoming more and more difficult here for the hard-paying Giant fan that goes out to MetLife Stadium each and every week, right? That's sitting there in the parking lot, not now, but sitting there during relevant seasons, putting their hard-earned money down, want to go out there and be proud of this franchise and bleed blue, right? Good old-fashioned, as Tom Coughlin used to say, good old-fashioned Giant pride. Well, what exactly are the Giants now? And that's where you look at the head coach and I say to yourself, well, what exactly defines Giant football under this head coach? What are they? Because nothing seems to improve. The Giant defense was really good under Wink Martindale. It was. And I understand Wink Martindale's not an easy guy to get along with. I understand that he rubs some people the wrong way and, you know, it could be a short-term fix. It's not going to be a long-term solution. And, you know, Wink has his guys part of that inner circle and maybe didn't play nice on that Giant coaching staff. But I'll tell you this, Wink Martindale as a defensive coordinator was really good. And when he left that building and left that facility and left that organization, you can't tell me that that Giant organization was not weakened. Well, that had everything to do with his relationship with head coach and Brian Daboll. Now you look at the quarterback, and you want to look at this saying, well, the Giants would be in a much different situation, much better position, you know, say for argument's sake, if, you know, Daniel Jones didn't start the season. Nonsense. His team isn't necessarily a quarterback away. Like, you look at the performance yesterday, well, results are results, right? You look at it and you say, well, Drew Locke's non-competitive as a quarterback in the National Football League for sure, right? But the injuries that have beset this team, like you look at yesterday's game as more of an example, as an eye-opener than the game against the Baltimore Ravens. Because when the Ravens come to town with Lamar Jackson and Harbaugh, I mean, that's a team that can do damage in the AFC playoffs. That's a team that potentially could get down to New Orleans in the Super Bowl. You know, that is a Giant organization that is bringing, you know, a knife to a gunfight. I mean, there is no chance. As I told you in the morning when I was doing the Football Sunday show, just name the margin. You know, if the Baltimore Ravens played a relatively clean football game, minded their P's and Q's, I mean, they could name the number that they wanted to score at the end of the day. That was not a fair fight. Yesterday is more eye-opening. The Buccaneer game is more eye-opening. Not saying that Tampa is this unbeatable team, even though they came crashing down to earth last night against the Dallas Cowboys, but the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were a team that you started DeVito, you wanted to play DeVito, all these things that we saw at the time, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers came in here and not just beat you, they embarrassed you and they mocked you. Yesterday against a rookie quarterback in Michael Penix, what exactly did you do, Shane Bowen, to go out there and make him as uncomfortable as he could be? I understand he's an older guy, played a lot of college football, whether it be at Indiana or Washington, but what exactly did you do defensively to try and make him as uncomfortable as he could? To the point where after the game, you know, you had people around the Atlanta Falcons saying he played nearly perfect despite the one turnover he had. What exactly did you do offensively? As Brian Daboll has taken over the play calling duties from Mike Kafka here for the better part of the last year plus, how exactly is this offense improved? Like, it's one thing to look at and say, well, it's the offensive line, it's all this. Where's the vision? Why does everything seem to look worse? Why is this team riding a 10-game losing streak? Why is it there this one game in which the Giants don't go out there? And yesterday they jumped out 7-0 and they got outscored 34-0 the rest of the game. They had 10 penalties over the course of the game. When does it start to look a little bit better? This week against the Indianapolis Colts? And place a, you know, holiday week? place that's going to be a quarter filled? Going to be more Colt fans than Giant fans in attendance out at MetLife Stadium? Is it going to be this week where it looks a little bit better? Like, that's the concern you have. That's why you wake up on this Monday, and it is a couple days away from Christmas. Santa about to arrive. You know, holidays, Hanukkah, everything that comes to New Year, we're going to ring it in next week. And you look in and you say to yourself, well, why exactly do you say Coach Brian Daboll deserves more time? Because of what he did in year one? Or was year one an outlier, and it's more a case of what we saw last year and this year? And then the other question that you have to ask yourself is this. Let's learn from other people's failures. My mom and dad used to tell me that all the time, right? You look around, you learn from what other people do. Learn from their failures and don't make the same mistake. Now, you might say to yourself, well, why do you say that? Well, let's look to another great city in this country. And let's look to Chicago. And let's look to the Bears. I said it at the time, it didn't really make much sense to me how the Chicago Bears were, you know, getting rid of Fields. That didn't bother me. Drafting Caleb Williams number one overall. And then bringing in a head coach that he had concerns about back in Eberflus. And that didn't make much sense to me. Because the quarterback is the way. We see it time and time again in the National Football League, right? You don't have one, you're in search of one. The franchise quarterback can make up, especially if he is an upper echelon elite franchise quarterback, can make up for disparities within your roster, shortcomings on your team, because he makes everyone around him better, right? You don't need to have everything be the elite of the elite, because that quarterback has an understanding of what he needs to do in order to be victorious. It's a quarterback-driven league, right? This is not saying something that everybody else out there, you know, the guy down at the street corner ordering a breakfast sandwich this morning doesn't know, right? It's a quarterback-driven league, right? So the Chicago Bears go out there and draft Caleb Williams number one overall. They bring Eberflus back. Eberflus ends up getting fired because of the poor clock management at the end of the Thanksgiving game, you know, in Detroit against the Lions. And now the Chicago Bears are in search of their answer as a head coach. So now year number one of Caleb Williams, their franchise quarterback, their difference maker, now all of a sudden you're making drastic change. Because the question you have to ask yourself is this. If you're thinking about this from a macro perspective is, well, I'm not only bringing Daboll back for 2025, I'm bringing him back for 2025 and 2026. I'm going to give him time. Especially if I'm drafting Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, because you wake up this morning and because of the Raiders' victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Giants are sitting here. Yes, I mean, they've. If you're going to be bad, be really bad. Well, the Giants, you know, basically said, hold my beer, and they've been that, right? They've lost 10 in a row, and the Giants are sitting there as right now the front runners have the number one overall pick in the 2025 NFL draft, and they need a quarterback. So whether it be Sanders out of Colorado, Cam Ward coming out of Miami, then you got to say to yourself, well, the head coach and Daboll, do I certainly believe in him to be the guy moving forward? Not just for 2025, but he's going to be the answer. Because if you have any questions, if you're the Giants co-owner John Mara, and you can withstand the planes, you can withstand the anger, you can withstand the vitriol, you can, because all the fans are doing are venting their frustration. They have every right to, right? They're paying customers, right? That's why, you know, the Giants, and that's why the co-owner talked about the popularity of Saquon Barkley when he left in free agency. He gets it. It's a business, no doubt. You want to sell jerseys. You also want to win football games, right? So once the Giants start winning, all of this, you know, ceases to exist, but they can't find a way to win. Losing has become well too commonplace. But for Daboll here is, have you seen enough to where you say to yourself, I'm confident in him for not just 25, but for also for 26, because if I'm going to draft a quarterback and I don't want to make the same mistake I did with Daniel Jones, I don't want to do what I did or what the Chicago Bears are doing now with Caleb Williams and what other organizations have done in the past, I don't want to all of a sudden change everything. If I have concerns about him going into 2025, well, then you have to make the change and rip the Band-Aid off now. Because come the spring, come April and May, the Giants are going to be in a position to hopefully draft a player And if they get it right, that changes everything. And you want to be put, you want to put that individual in the best possible position to be successful. And that it starts with a head coach. It starts with his vision. It starts with his ability to develop and get the best out of said players. That's what you have to ask yourself. The Giants stink. I mean, there's no other way to cut it. Should they be better than two victories? Yeah, I mean, they should be. But, I mean, what are we couching in here? Should they have five wins, six wins, whatever it might be? There is a lack of talent. The injuries have hurt this team. I don't think the coaching staff is put in a position to be successful. I think there was a regression when you look at the defensive coordinator as compared to Wink Martindale and Shane Bowen. And I also think Daboll was way too focused on the offense and not being the head coach of this team. I think there's a reason if you look back year number one, when he coached the entire team and Kafka was calling plays, this worked a lot better. Now you get to the general manager. And listen, you could look at Chicago and say, well, their general manager's staying and they're looking for a new head coach. And you could also look at some of the decisions that Joe Shane has made over the course of time and say to yourself, well, I don't know if I necessarily believe in his vision. And Shane's an interesting case because, you know, I think, you know, being an inexperienced general manager hurt him initially year number one. Leaning into the success of the New York Giants, year number one. Leaning into the playoff push, the playoff season, the victory in Minnesota, and then the learning experience getting routed in the against the Philadelphia Eagles the following week. Learn from it. There was also learning experiences as well. I don't think Hard Knocks offseason with the New York Giants has done Joe Shane any favors in terms of the perception of the general manager. That's just being truthful. And some of the stuff that continues to get thrown out there on social media. But what John Mara has to ask himself is this. Do you believe that the general manager now, after a solid draft class, solid offseason, that this team should be better than two wins? You have more concerns about the head coach than you do the general manager, for argument's sake. Because you can't do it the opposite way. The idea that both need to go is just, I don't know if I necessarily believe in that. I mean, I think they both could get fired. I don't think you keep the head coach and fire the general manager, do what the Jets did with Rex Ryan a number of years ago. I think the one that's on the hottest seat, I think, is the head coach. I think what Paul Schwartz wrote about in the New York Post last week is fair. I think when you look at where this team is, what defines Giant football, the way that this team is playing, the answers you get after the game, even though that really doesn't play into the decision-making, it's a results-oriented business, and this season is really bad. And despite what John O'Hara had to say before the, you know, premiere of the documentary on his father, you know, on the NFL Network, where he told Giant reporters that, you know, and he craves stability. He doesn't want a constant turnover. He doesn't want the Giant organization to be a turnstile, where you're constantly looking for the next guy. He wants to try and stay the course. It's becoming more and more difficult by the week from what we are all witnessing on the field. And that's where Giant fans, you have every right to be utterly frustrated. You have every right, if you're a Giant fan, to spend the $1,500 and have the flyovers over MetLife Stadium. You have every right to look at this team and say, I don't want to watch this anymore. Where exactly is the growth? What looks better? Where is this team improving? And to be fair, it's not even on the margins. To be fair, when you're watching this team week in and week out, it's hard to lock into anything positive. When you're turning to Tommy DeVito for a spark, and I went to Don Bosco Prep, and Tommy DeVito isn't good. That's a problem.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.